Canto 16. Neither in hell's gloom, nor in cloudy night bereft of stars and planets, had I yet known in my life a veil that blocked my sight so thick, of stuff so harsh, as that one set to my eyes by the smoke that wrapped us there, choking my eyelids shut. Therefore my wise and faithful escort moved in close, and where his shoulder was I felt, and in the guise of someone blind who stays behind his guide to skirt what, knocked against, might hurt or kill. So I edged through the foul and bitter tide. He kept on saying, I can hear it still, don't get cut off from me. On every side were voices, and they seemed to pray for peace and mercy to God's Lamb that took away our sins. And always those hymns, without cease, had the same words beginning, Agnus Dei. And just one measure their accord complete. I asked, are all these spirits that I hear? And he, they are. The prayers that they repeat mean that they strive to bring the moment near when they will lay the knot of anger loose. Who are you that come here to cleave our smoke and speak as if you tell time by the use of words that were once Roman? One voice spoke. My master, answer, and make sure you ask, is this the way up? And I, you that make the cleansing of yourself your present task, so you may shine in fairness when you take the road back to the one that made you, you will hear a marvel if you stay near me. I will, as far as I'm permitted to, he said. And if the smoke won't let us see, hearing will keep us joined. And then I said, wrapped in the flesh that death undoes, I find my way up, and I came here through the dread reaches of hell, and since God has a mind to take me into grace, and I am led alive, like no one else after St. Paul, to see his court, don't hide from me, but tell me who you were, and if this entrance hall to the next stage is on this road. Then well may your words be our escort. I knew all the world, he said. I, Marco, Lombard I. Lover of qualities for which they now can't bend the bow to let the arrow fly, let alone hit them. Straight ahead is how you go. I pray that when you reach the sky, you'll pray for me. And I to him, I pledge my faith to you to do what you now seek, but still a doubt within keeps me on edge to breaking point. What I have heard you speak doubles the doubt I brought here from Guido, and so confirms the world must be indeed barren of virtue, as you've let me know. With evil decked, and evil in the seed. But now I pray you say why this is so. Tell me the cause, that I may tell the world. Some say the fault is in our stars, and some it's in ourselves. And here a sigh unfurled, saying, alas, for grief. Brother, you come indeed from the blind realm, for you that live refer all causes to the sky alone, as if it only had the power to give movement to things. Were it to wholly own that property, however, all free will would leave you, and there'd be no justice in joy for good deeds or grief for doing ill. The star field helps your impulses begin. I don't say all of them, but if I did, on good and bad and on free choice it shines. Choice which, if it survives that first armed bid to shape it, will be raised on the right lines and conquer all. It's to a greater force and better nature you, since freedom's yours, are subject. Therein lies the one true source of your mind, which the mere stars lack the laws to rule. Thus, if the present world should veer, the cause is in you, and it must be sought in you. To prove this to you, I am here, your faithful scout. Just like a child in sport, with tears and smiles, our little simple soul emerges from his hand. He looks at it with fondness, though as yet it lacks the whole of knowledge, and so far is scarcely fit to be considered as itself. It moves because its maker moves it. when it turns to what attracts it, and at first it proves each trifling good by taste, and what it learns, being beguiled, is to run after more, if guide and curb don't turn its love aside. For law to be a break on this, therefore, there was a need, a law to override the impulse of delight. Need for a king, fit to make out the tower's tip at least of the true city. Law. Well, there's a thing. The law exists, but by default has ceased to be enforced. No emperor, and the pope knows the law's letter but ignores its heart. Our shepherd, going on before, can cope with worldly things, but the unearthly part escapes him. He has half the pastoral scope. He chews the cud, but has not the split hoof, and therefore is unclean. We may not eat. Just watch the people, if you want the proof. They see him snatching at the easy meat they too are greedy for, and do the same, asking no more. Thus you can see it plain. Ill guidance is the cause of the ill fame the world has earned, this wicked world of pain. Bad leadership, not nature gone to rot in you. For Rome, which made the just world, could boast two bright suns once, as it now cannot. Each clarified one path, not bad and good, but world and God. And now, what have we got? One quells the other. Sword and shepherd's crook are joined, and all for ill, since joined the one has no fear of the other. Take a look. If you should doubt this tale of mischief done by false ambition at an ear of corn, for plant is known by seed. There on the land, between the Adige and Po, were born, and grew for generations a great band of all the brave and courteous, and then the Emperor Frederick met his nemesis, the papacy. And now only those men can cross it safely who would rather miss, for shame, all converse with the virtuous, or even a mere meeting. Growing old, down there are three men we might well discuss, as paragons the ancient times may hold, up to the new as figures of reproof. Curado and Gerardo were dead straight, and Guido da Castel was not aloof from all the horsemen who passed by his gate, such that the French would call him, in their style, the guileless Lombard. So we may deduce the Church of Rome, divided all this while into two powers, falls without excuse into the mire, itself and its great task both utterly befouled. You put the case with skill, my Marco, said I. I need ask no more why Levi's sons and all that race who served the tabernacle were debarred from worldly goods. But tell me who he is, Gerardo, who yet breathes to give a hard lesson in virtue from an age once his to this age of barbarity in which we now must live. He said, either your speech deceives me, or it tests me. Phrase and pitch are Tuscan. Yet somehow I have to teach you everything about Gerardo. Him I know by no last name, because it's been dragged in the dirt, its luster dusted dim, by his loose daughter Gaia. This I've seen, a true sign of today. Now may the Lord be with you, for no further can I walk with you. There is a risk I can't afford, much as I have enjoyed our little talk. You see there, where the smoke is turning white, it will turn brighter yet, and you will see an angel, for he is that source of light. But I must leave you before he sees me. He turned back, cutting short our colloquy.